Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, UNIFYD, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
The PropCast on the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is presented by WynnBET. WynnBET is now live in Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, Virginia, and Arizona. From boosted parlays to in-game odds on every major sport, WynnBET has what you need to win. Sign up today to receive a $1,000 risk-free sports bet. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com and start winning today. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is DFS simplified. All you have to do is pick your favorite player over and unders to cash in. Head over to prizepicks.com and use promo code SGP for a 100% instant deposit match. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. Check out the new PropSwap.com and use promo code SGP on your first deposit to receive up to $500 in bonus cash. We're also brought to you by SoBet. Sign up to bet against your friends and join the social betting revolution at SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN. We're also brought to you by Better Fantasy. Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football leagues and bet on the head-to-head matchups. Download the app today or just head to betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's betterfantasy.com/SGPN. And of course, don't forget to download the SGPN app, your home for all of our free picks and podcasts. Welcome everyone to the PropCast NBA Wednesday night schedule, 13 game schedule tonight in the NBA. We're here to break down all the player props, and joining me as usual on Wednesday morning to break it all down as far as player props and awards and conference markets, it's the man that does it both on and off the court for SGPN, as well as the host of his own radio show, Scott Reichel. Scott, how are you feeling this Wednesday afternoon, buddy?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty good. Nets somehow won yesterday, so can't really complain. Kind of picked up some, I don't want to say free money because I had no money on it, but I didn't think the Nets were going to win that game. So I'll definitely take that one to the bank. Pretty entertaining NBA card yesterday. Really not many games, but I did think that at times, both games seemed to be extremely either competitive or just really entertaining, because the Lakers were just running up and down the court the entire first half. The ball was going out of bounds half the time. It was just complete chaos for about the first 24 minutes. I had a pretty fun time watching the NBA yesterday. What about you?
Yeah, that Nets and Mavericks game I was glued to for sure. That was a lot of fun watching James Harden, Kevin Durant, Luka just going at it, man. Somehow, like you said, somehow, some way, Brooklyn found a way to win that game, and not only win, but also cover the spread down the stretch there. Dallas kind of gave it up in that fourth quarter. They only scored 13 points in that fourth quarter, got outscored 27-13, only scored 37 points in that second half after scoring 62 in the first half. So great win there for, or great comfort behind win there for Brooklyn against this Dallas team. And that Boston game and Lakers game, that was a lot of fun also. Jason Tatum started red hot in that game against the Lakers. I think he scored like the first 14 of like 16 points or something like that, but just on fire from three-point land was Jason Tatum. And then, like you said,
this... I had the over. So Malik Monk's three-pointer in the last minute did me a nice solid.
What was the number?
I got it at 217.5.
Yeah.
It closed at around 220.
220, yeah.
And the three-pointer made it land 219.
There you go. Yeah, that's why you got to beat the number, bet these totals early. So pretty good night for you then, huh? At least betting-wise on a three-game schedule.
Yeah, I definitely was a fan of the over because the last time they played, Jaylen Brown didn't play either.
Yeah.
And that game still landed 238, so I thought 217.5 was too low. Mm-hmm. It was, barely, apparently, but it became a lot sweatier than I thought it was going to be because the first quarter had like 64 points and I thought I was just going to coast at that point. Mm-hmm. And then both teams, I can't even say that it was amazing defense or just awful shot creation, but both teams had several spots in that game where they just couldn't make anything.
Yeah.
And I'll give the Lakers props. Defensively, they showed up for about 20 minutes.
Where it counted.
A third quarter and early fourth, they showed up. Then the last 4 minutes or so, Horton Tucker took that terrible three when they're trying to run out the clock. The Celtics went on a bit of a run there, and the defense kind of gave up after that. But for about, say, 20 minutes, the Lakers' defense, I thought, looked really good.
Hmm. Lakers had a good, I guess, a good night against this Boston team. But, yeah, definitely that was a fun game to watch. Stars did shine in that game. And, again, that Dallas and Brooklyn game was fun for sure. I know we were talking offline yesterday, trying to come up with some more awards or things to talk about outside of the player props for tonight. And you said you had a rant, to say the least, about the Eastern Conference winner for conference odds winners. So right now, before I let you, I'll give you the floor and let you go on your rant. I will say that, let me read off these the odds first. So Brooklyn right now is favored at +130 to win the Eastern Conference, followed by the Bucks at 3-1, Heat at 6-1, Sixers at 9-1, and then it falls off to the Bulls at 16-1 and the Hawks at 17-1. So Scott, I will give you the floor here, sir. It is our segment. I guess we're going to start to call this segment the Scott's Scott Screams. So, Scott, go for it.
So, for this one, I'm going to look at the, of course, Eastern Conference winner right now. And the Nets are the clear favorites at around even money. It's +130, but it's close to it.
Yeah.
I don't understand these odds at all. And I'm a Nets fan. Like, I like the fact that a lot of people think the Nets are just automatically going to coast into the NBA Finals. But as you were watching the game against Dallas, yes, they won. Are you really happy with the supporting cast? Are you a fan of Claxton playing late in the fourth quarter and seeing James Johnson need to make big plays down the stretch? Of course not.
No.
So yeah. I don't know why they're +130. I get that you have the outside chance of Kyrie coming back. Sure. Okay. Good luck with that one. But you have Harden, who has had a down year. Mm-hmm. He's been okay, but he hasn't been as good as he used to be or has been in the past. Durant's ridiculous. We already know that. Durant's arguably the best player in the league. Either 1A, 1B, you can argue with Giannis, but I do think those are the best two players in the league. But you're comparing that team, which is basically Harden, Durant, and a bunch of role players, to the defending NBA champions in the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 3-1, even though the Bucks killed this team in the season opener by about 20. Middleton is finally back. The team's looked really good lately. You still have Holiday. You still have Giannis, of course. So even though I don't know if you can really count Drew Holiday as a part of a big three, it's a better big three than what the Nets are rolling out, because the third best player on the Nets is who? LaMarcus Aldridge?
Patty Mills, I think.
Patty Mills, maybe? Like, I don't consider Patty Mills being in a big three to constitute being a favorite to win the conference. So Milwaukee at 3-1 makes no sense to me. I think that they should arguably have the same odds as the Nets, maybe even be favorites at this point, because I really don't see how the Nets are going to stop Giannis for a 7-game series.
Yeah.
We saw that last year, and I know that you can argue, well, Harden got injured, Kyrie got injured. Yeah, if Kyrie's not playing in this series, because he's not playing at all, then wouldn't it be a similar outcome to what we saw last year? But maybe that's just me. Miami's 6-1. I'm not sure the Nets would beat Miami either. Miami beat them in Brooklyn earlier this year. Miami's a very physical team, play great defense, and I really have a hard time believing that the Nets would easily handle Miami. They might win the series anyway, but you're looking at 6-1 and 3-1 with the Heat and the Bucks. I think both those teams, worst case scenario, can push it 6 or 7. So I find the concept of the Nets just expected to run through everybody. Their overall record is good, but every game they play is a sweat in the fourth quarter. There's a reason why they're not covering these huge spreads. Yeah. It's because every game they play is close. So if you're expecting this team to just coast to the finish line before potentially either winning the title or losing to the Warriors or the Suns, etc., I don't see it. I think Milwaukee's going to beat this team.
I think so, too. And I think that, you know, we talked about maybe the supporting cast is not so great either for the Milwaukee Bucks, but they're not afraid to make a move at the trade deadline to go out and get another piece like they did that last season by adding P.J. Tucker. I mean, you know, we talked about P.J. Tucker was good for that one series against, I think it was Brooklyn. But other than that, Milwaukee, they're healthy. That's the whole thing about it, right? But they're still missing Dante DiVincenzo. They're still missing Brooke Lopez. They're still missing Semi Ojeleye on this roster, and they're still
Lopez I don't even know about, because Lopez might hypothetically be out for the rest of the year. We still don't really know what his status is going to be.
Sure.
Because he has the back issue. He just had surgery. It's a pretty big deal. So if he comes back, of course, that's another defensive rim presence, which you're going to need. But it all comes back to the point of, yes, I know that Durant's almost impossible to stop.
Yeah.
But you saw Giannis in the opener, and you saw him in the playoffs last year against the Nets. He's going to walk into, what, 35 and 14 every game? They can't guard him.
Yeah, they can't. And they really haven't done anything to address or try to get someone that's going to attempt to stop him. So, yeah, I agree with you. We were talking offline about this yesterday on Slack, and we said that, hey, that I agree with that. Brooklyn should not be the favorite right now just because they have Kevin Durant and James Harden on this roster. I don't think Kyrie Irving is going to be back for this team this season. I think he's kind of made that personal choice of not wanting to get vaccinated, not play for this Brooklyn Nets team. But maybe another team, Miami Heat, or further down the list, do you see anybody else that can contend to win this Eastern Conference outside of the Nets and the Milwaukee Bucks and the Heat?
Well, I know you had a team in mind, so I'll let you do the honors on that one.
Yeah, I pointed out Chicago last night, and I don't think that this is a team. I think you can make a case for them, but I don't think that they're going to make a run to the NBA playoffs. I mean, they've looked great so far this season. They're 17-8, only half a game out now of that first place behind the Brooklyn Nets. But I did like the pieces that they added around Nikola Vucevic and Zach LaVine with DeMar DeRozan, who's just kind of found his way again, I guess you can say, after the debacle maybe in San Antonio, he's going out and almost scoring 25, 30 points per night for the Chicago Bulls. Alex Caruso, I think he's been one of the better defenders in this entire season, right up there, I think, with Draymond Green. But he's also out for the Chicago Bulls. Nikola Vucevic, I think, is the only guy. That interior is what kind of scares me about the Chicago Bulls team, because they really don't have anybody to kind of address that defensive presence inside. I think that tonight's going to be a telling story when they play Cleveland Cavaliers tonight, when they have to go up against Evan Mobley and Jared Allen. But Chicago has some pieces. I think they still probably need to add another piece or two on that bench. But when you have guys like DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine who can score at will, and guys that can play defense in your guards with AC and Lonzo Ball, I think that's a pretty good team that can, you know, make some noise in the Eastern Conference. I think, you know, for them to be at 16-1 and only half a game behind the Brooklyn Nets, I think that's kind of telling of what the bookmakers are thinking about either the Brooklyn Nets or the Bulls. Kind of want to get your thoughts on the Bulls.
I think that the Bulls are going to be a team that might be entertaining for a playoff series or two, but I do think the lack of experience is going to come back to bite them.
Yeah.
Because you're looking at the actual roster here, and DeRozan, I know he's out now, but for the playoffs, he's been in a fair share of playoff series. Mm-hmm. It's not his fault he had to go against LeBron every year, basically, in the Eastern Conference Finals. I'm not going to roast him for it. It is what it is. He lost to one of the best players of all time repeatedly. And then, unfortunately for him, Toronto got rid of him, and they immediately won a championship because they replaced him with arguably a top 50 player of all time. Yeah. So I'm not going to blame DeRozan for that. He's one of the best players the Raptors have ever had. But I do think his experience helps. LaVine has, I don't believe, ever played in the playoffs before.
I don't think
Vucevic has been in the first round a couple times with Orlando. I don't think he's ever gotten past five games, but he's made it to five games a couple of times.
Yeah.
So the lack of experience, I think, is going to bite. Caruso won a championship, but he's a role player. But you get the point. The point is that I do think at some point the team's youth is going to come back to bite them. One team I'm looking at, if you want to go for a long shot, is kind of the team right after Chicago in the odds. I'm looking at Atlanta.
Okay.
Mostly because they were just in the Eastern Conference Finals, so most of the team is experienced. Trae Young, with all the foul rule changes, whatever, he's actually been unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I feel like people have kind of assumed that just because his game was so predicated on getting to the foul line, kind of like a Harden, he would struggle once they changed the rules. And he struggled for about a week. And then Trey's gone absolutely nuclear for the last month and a half, and he's been fantastic. Now, the supporting cast, I do think, is a little bit streaky. Bogdanović has been injured a little bit. Gallinari is always injured at some point. And, of course, they're missing DeAndre Hunter, who's easily their best defender. So I do think that at full strength, assuming Hunter can stay healthy, which is a huge question mark in itself, I do like the pieces this team has. McMillan, I think, is a very good coach. I think 17-1 does seem a little bit too rich to pass up on. If you expect this team to, A, not shy away from teams that are arguably better than them, which I don't think Atlanta is going to be, and two, Atlanta has one of the best home courts in the entire league.
Yeah.
So I think that if you are able to steal one and get a one-game lead in a series, you can trust that team to defend home court most of the time.
Yeah.
And I do think that it's 17-1. If you can defend home court at least 80% of the time in the playoffs, you're going to be in pretty good shape.
Yeah, and I mean, last year we saw Atlanta Hawks, like, they were not a stranger to going into the opposing team's home floor and stealing away a home court advantage. Like, they got it done on the road as well. So one more thing off the Atlanta Hawks I want to throw out you. We talked about this last week with MVP. We kind of feel like that Steph Curry had pretty much almost wrapped it up, on barring a significant injury to him, but any value you think on Trae Young if this team does finish number one in the Eastern Conference?
I think he deserves more consideration than what he's getting. Are they going to finish number one? Of course not. So yeah. I think that it's kind of a moot point. But I do think that when you're looking at the odds here, Embiid is 28-1. I get that he has looked good when he's played. I have no idea how he's above Trae Young and even DeMar DeRozan, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
Because he's missed what, like half the season?
Yep.
So
he missed about 8 to 10 games, yeah.
So I'm saying I wouldn't even have Embiid within the top 10 just because of how much time he's already missed, and assuming he might miss more time because he can't stay healthy. So yeah. I know that it was COVID-related, not fully injury-related, but he was battling a knee issue before the COVID anyway. So I think that Young should be, I'd say, closer to the 25 to 35 range.
Mm-hmm.
I think 40 does sound a little bit disrespectful, but I don't think he's going to win the award. At the end of the day, if Curry stays healthy, he's winning.
Yeah.
If not, then it's either going to be Durant or Giannis. I do think that Jokic is a fun argument, but I don't think they're going to give it to him back-to-back years, and he also missed time as well. Yeah. So I don't see that happening. Luka's a lost cause because Dallas is going to be hovering around 500 for the entire season, kind of similar to Denver because that team isn't very good either.
Yeah.
So I really see it as a three-horse race, really one and a half. Because right now it's Curry.
Yeah.
But if he gets injured, then I'm assuming just going to Durant.
Yeah, I agree. It's a three horse race between Curry, Durant, and Giannis for me. But just curious the thoughts on Trae Young. Anything else for the Eastern Conference? Maybe any other teams that you want to get in particular that may challenge to make a run in the Eastern Conference or maybe get to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I feel like we kind of covered the basics here. I'm skipping Philly entirely because they bring back Doc Rivers. So that means you already know they're going to fall apart in the playoffs. But when you're missing Ben Simmons, I get that people don't like Simmons because he can't shoot.
Mm-hmm.
But you can just tell by what you've seen from Philly this season. They might win some games against some bad teams. Defensively, they're just not very good.
Yeah.
And it is what it is. When you're throwing out Seth Curry, I know that he's a good shooter. He can't really guard. Tybull is kind of, I can't say similar to Ben Simmons because the dribbling isn't there and the playmaking isn't there, but he's a defensive specialist who can't really do anything on the offensive end. So Doc Rivers has tried to kind of limit Tybalt's minutes because he can't provide anything on the offensive end. But when your backcourt's going to be Shake Milton and Seth Curry, I'm not picking you to win the Eastern Conference.
Yeah.
And Korkmaz. I can't forget about Korkmaz over there.
Yeah, it's a significant drop-off after Joel Embiid, right? Like, Tobias Harris this season has been lackluster, I think I should say, before I start cussing at Tobias Harris.
I think that was the concerning part about the Sixers last year, is the fact that Tobias Harris was actually reliable for once in the playoffs last year, and they still couldn't even make it to the Eastern Conference Finals.
You mean he couldn't do it back-to-back seasons for the Sixers, Tobias Harris?
I'm saying that he has one of, I'd say, pound for pound. Of course, the Wall contract's a next level one. The Westbrook contract's a next level one. In terms of recent max deals, I think it's either him or Gordon Hayward for the worst max contract in the league for healthy players.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. Yeah, especially that Gordon Hayward one. But he's only, what, 32 million? Or did he sign a new contract with the Hornets, didn't he?
The Hornets paid him a boatload of money.
Yeah,
which I thought was insane because they got rid of Batum's awful contract just to pay Gordon Hayward all that money. And I don't know what he did on Boston to deserve that contract, but I'm not going to get into a Gordon Hayward rant. The point is that Tobias Harris is a guy who's been on multiple teams for a reason. And it's because he's good. You think there's some upside, and then it turns out he never reaches the upside. And it seemed like in the playoffs, particularly in the first round last year, it looked like he finally embraced his potential, and then he immediately fell off a cliff.
Yeah.
So I'm not exactly surprised, but he was great against the Wizards. And then after that, everything hit a wall. And if you follow Tobias Harris in his entire career, you really shouldn't be surprised.
Yeah. I don't think that he's a number three at best, I think, for me on any team that he would, you know, be on a playoff team, especially like a team like the Sixers. It's going to be interesting to see what kind of transpires for the Simmons situation, or if they're just going to play it out. That's what it kind of seems like, because the rumors have really kind of died down between the Sixers and Ben Simmons being traded. Last bit of news I wanted to get to, Scott, we covered this on the NBA Gambling Podcast this morning, was we saw a report that came out on Monday morning about the Indiana Pacers listening to trade offers for their top three guys between Sabonis, Miles Turner, and Caris LeVert. Kind of surprised to see that Rick Carlisle is the coach in probably now what's going to be a rebuilding team, possibly maybe leaving after this season if they are going to go fully blow it up. But what are you thinking for the Pacers as far as teams or teams that can target some of these players? We had discussed Charlotte and Portland as possible destinations for guys like Sabonis and Miles Turner, but I kind of want to get your thoughts on those guys.
Well, anybody that can play defense should be a target for Charlotte because they can't stop anybody.
Yeah.
So I do think that picking up a Miles Turner might help. Turner's the intriguing option for me because Sabonis, we know he's an all-star, whether or not you think he deserved it. He's a very good player.
Yeah.
Is he a little bit overrated at this point? Probably a little bit, but he's still a very talented player. Brogdon I really like, but he's always injured.
Yeah.
LeVert is a guy who is kind of similar in that aspect. He's very talented, but he's always injured. Turner's also an injury-prone guy, so that's why it's kind of a tricky spot. But Turner is one of the most underrated rim protectors in the entire league.
Yeah.
And it's because offensively, he only shoots threes. So people think of him as being kind of a perimeter guy, but he's a great rim protector. And I think if you want to make an argument for any team that can make a run for him, I don't know if the Lakers can afford him. I think he would be a nice piece to pick up because Anthony Davis is still pretty good defensively. He's clearly not the same defensive player that he once was. He's still above average, well above average. But I do think adding another rim protector that's not named Dwight Howard might help you out.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much any team that has an underwhelming center, I do think should go after Miles Turner because even though he shoots a few too many threes for my liking, he's not totally atrocious at it. He can shoot a little bit, so I do think that he would help stretch the floor offensively while also being able to help out a defense by being an anchor, quote-unquote. Is he going to get injured at some point? Probably. It's the way it is. But I do think that teams like the Lakers, hell, even the Nets, I think, would be a hell of a fit for him because the Nets, when you're throwing at Aldridge, who has really just no lateral movement at all, you're throwing in Claxton, who's about 50 pounds undersized against any quality center he faces, I don't know if the Nets can fully afford him. They picked up a trade exception in the Dinwiddie trade, which maybe they could use for part of it. But
yeah,
I really think Dinwiddie would be a good fit for a contender who needs some help in the front court.
Yeah, I think a couple of teams that we did throughout, Charlotte was one of them. Brooklyn didn't come to mind, but I think that is a pretty good landing spot for him. We talked about Portland, maybe if they picked up a guy like Sabonis or even Miles Turner, because I am not a Jusuf Nurkić fan. I think he has one of the worst
hands. I think that's the worst thing that Portland can do, to
be
honest.
One of those guys in.
I'm going to shut it down. The way that I would break down Portland, which is actually kind of ironic because I actually talked about this in my YouTube video. I like the Warriors tonight. I got them 13 and a half. They're now at 14.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah,
Portland needs to blow it up. And the longer that you go without blowing it up, the worse you're going to make it long term. I know Lillard wants an extension, even though he has like 3 years left, and he wants to play with the Portland until he's like 38. He wants a Kobe contract. Yeah. Where he'll get paid $40-something million, take a bunch of really bad shots, and get paid. And that's really how it's going to go. Now, should Portland give it to him? The truth is, I think they should. Because what free agents are you attracting in Portland? What's going to sell tickets? You have one guy who, for some reason, has proven time and time again he would rather be loyal than win. Because it seems like they are mutually exclusive terms in Portland.
Yeah.
You've had some success. They're not winning anything. And if you want to just keep it loyal and maybe attract free agents in the future by banking on the loyalty aspect,
yeah,
I think you pay Lillard. Mm-hmm. But you're looking at the core. Now McCollum has an issue with his lung. He's out indefinitely. He might be out for the year. I don't really know what the point is of bringing him back if your team's going to be out of it. Lillard's had an awful year. He's injured too. And what is there to like about your team? You have a whole front office where you threw out the GM for bad work culture. So now you don't even have a GM attachment to the players. You brought in a coach in Chauncey Billups, who I'm not sure the players even like.
Yeah.
And the roster stinks. So my question is, if you end up trading Nurkić or somebody for Sabonis, what's the point?
That's true. Yeah, I think you're right about that, because they're not going to really contend in this Western Conference.
Do you want to keep hovering around a six seed in a first round elimination? I don't know what the point is.
Yeah, I agree with that. I understand your counterpoint there, but yeah, definitely.
Course, no team wants to blow it up, but the new front office does have a built-in excuse.
Yeah,
saying these are the previous regime's players. We want to do it our way, and we can agree if Sabonis ends up on a team. I think you'd probably have to trade McCollum for him, or trade like at least Nurkić and a first round pick or a couple first round picks, whatever. Mm-hmm. Do you really want to mortgage part of the future for a guy who's going to help you be a five seed max? Probably not.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree with your counterpoints there. There were just throwing teams out on the pod this morning.
I was like, Portland should be selling. They shouldn't be buying anybody.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. It really does. Any other things that maybe you want to get to around the league before we get to the player props here, Scott?
Just thinking of some of the names that you just mentioned when it comes to who Indiana could potentially trade. The Brogdon one, I kind of just thought it was on the fly. I don't know if Brogdon's officially on the market. I'm assuming he would be, because if you're going to trade everybody else, why wouldn't you also trade Brogdon?
Yeah.
I think the Knicks would be a hell of a spot for Brogdon. I think that he answers a lot of problems that this team has, because you're looking at a Thibodeau system, and we know defense is usually the top priority. This year, not so much.
Yeah.
But the main issue that you ran into is you tried to bring in Kemba, and you tried to bring in Evan Fournier, who don't play any defense at all, into a team that prides itself on defense. And, of course, Kemba is now out of the rotation because he was so awful on both sides of the ball. Fournier is a good shooter. He can't guard anybody. So I do think bringing in a point guard who's an underrated defender with some offensive skills, no offense to Alec Burks. I think Burks is a good player. I think he's more of a sixth man to me.
He's not
seen as being a starting type of guy.
Yeah.
I think Brogdon would be a hell of a fit with that team, because he would help instill a bit of toughness and a defensive edge that I think this team has been missing. So I think that the Knicks, you have a lot of young talent. You can maybe ship off an Obi Toppin, somebody like that, who I think maybe people are higher on than I am, but he's still young. Indiana's going to try to get younger. I'm not saying you should trade quickly for him, but I'm saying that I do think the Knicks have some young pieces that could warrant bringing back a Brogdon who might help stabilize your backcourt.
For me, the Knicks, when I kind of look at it, when I kind of pull the curtain back, is like, who is the guy on that roster that they're building around? Like, I know they have Julius Randle, but is there a guy that I'm missing on this team that's not tradable at all?
Like, no, I think that's the point. The like, Knicks have, like, yeah, the Knicks have decided if we get the role, if we get the role players intact, the free agents will come.
Yeah,
it seems to be that's the philosophy of it's New York and everybody wants to play in New York. Mm-hmm. And the ironic part is you haven't gotten a big free agent since Amari Stoudemire? Because you traded for Melo. You didn't even acquire Melo in free agency.
Yeah, Melo was a trade, right?
So Amari, that's Amari. The last big free agent that you've had?
Jeremy Lin?
I guess that counts. But that's the point, is that the Knicks, either the fan base or the front office, has the illusion that players love to go play in New York.
Yeah.
When the Nets have signed more big free agents than you have in the span of the last decade. So I think that's a problem for the Knicks, but they're going to keep riding or dying by the free agency pool. So that's why I think they're not focused on finding a roster that they can trade for to build a core.
Yeah.
They plan on having the other pieces in place with a huge question mark by the star player and then just picking up a free agent and going from there.
Yeah, I don't think they're going to get a significant free agent or a superstar free agent, I think personally, until James Dolan's not no longer the owner of this team. I just think that's just what it is.
I think it should be. If you're a player, I don't know why you'd want to play for Dolan, but yeah. The Knicks have been better lately with this core. But at some point, Knicks fans, I get that making the playoffs is a victory and you could have the parade because your team hadn't made the playoffs for several years. Knicks fans aren't happy with a 5-game elimination in the first round of the playoffs. At some point, you got to actually win a series.
Yeah.
Well, maybe even two if we're getting crazy here. But I do think that the current roster isn't good enough to win multiple rounds of the playoffs. So, yes, you can go for free agents. Yes, you can put your eggs in that basket. But I do think if you had a blockbuster trade where you would have to end up getting rid of Barrett, maybe even Randall, and you could get back held Damian Lillard. Let's throw out a name.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think they would do it? 100% Knicks fans would want them to do it.
Oh, yeah, 100% they would do it, because you finally get a superstar player to come play in Madison Square Garden. I think at that point, that's where the free agents would, or other players would start coming into Madison Square Garden to play alongside Damian Lillard. Right now, there's not that piece there for them. So definitely something to keep an eye out for sure as things start happening and these trade rumors start popping up around the league as we get into the month of December. And
what do you think of that fit, though, Brogdon with the Knicks?
I like it. I think that, you know, when we were previewing the Eastern Conference before the season started and we heard that Evan Fournier and Kemba Walker were their acquisitions, we knew that there was going to be a significant drop-off on the defensive side of the basketball for them because, number one, yeah, they were really great last season, but when you bring in, like you just said, guys like, and I agree that Kemba Walker and Evan Fournier that do not play any defense, they were going to fall off at some point, but they need a guard. They need some a legit point guard like a Malcolm Brogdon or someone to come in there and kind of set the tone. Like you said, I completely agree with you 100%, but I think Brogdon would be a good fit on any contending team, honestly, to say the least. But I think New York is a pretty good fit for him also, where he would have the ball in his hands and also be that playmaker next to Julius Randle.
I think the dream fit for the Knicks would be like a DeJounte Murray, but I don't think that he's available right now.
No, absolutely not. I think that he's doing really well, especially now this season for sure with the San Antonio Spurs. Scott, let's take a quick break here. We'll come back and we'll get into our player props for the Wednesday night schedule.
College football championship weekend is behind us, but bowl season is almost upon us, and there's no need to exhaust yourself searching all over the internet for tickets to see your favorite team play in their bowl game this winter. Because TickPick, that's TickPick, is the original no-fee ticket site and the only one you'll ever need as your go-to for all tickets for NCAA football, NFL, concerts, NBA, and more. TickPick got rid of all those awful service fees that the other ticket sites charge, which lets them guarantee the best prices on all of their college football tickets. Don't believe it? If you can find better prices for the same seats on another ticket site, TickPick will give you 110% of the difference in the purchase price. Visit TickPick today at TickPick.com.
tickpick.com/SGP. That's tickpick.com/SGP. Ready to win money and boost your odds? WynnBET is now live in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, New Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia. We're bringing the excitement of Wynn Las Vegas to online sports betting and casino play. Exclusive rewards right at your fingertips. Get in on all your favorite teams, players, and sports from NFL, NBA, MLB, NHL, golf, MMA, WNBA, college football, and more. WynnBET has some brand new bonuses. New users can bet $1 and win $100 on any sport. Plus, you can get up to $1,500 as a free bet on WynnBET if you make a first deposit of $20 or more. Whatever your first wager is, WynnBET will match it up to 200%. If you bet $100, you'll get a $200 free bet. Great promos, odds, and payouts are happening right now at WynnBET. From boosted parlays to live in-game odds on every major sport, we have what you need to win. Ready to play? Sign up today to receive a special offer, risk-free $1,000 sports bet. Bet big, win bigger with WynnBET. Download the WynnBET app now or visit wynnbet.com. We're also brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is an easy way to play daily fantasy. It's daily fantasy simplified. You pick 2 to 5 players and an over and under on their projections, and you can win up to 10 times on any entry. Use promo code SGP and receive a 100% deposit match up to $100. It's just you versus the projected numbers. PrizePicks has a ton of stats to choose from, including yards, receptions, touchdowns, fantasy points, and more. PrizePicks allows mixed entries, so you can take the over on LeBron's points, combine it with the under on Patrick Mahomes' yardage in the same entry. PrizePicks offers every sport you can think of, like NFL, college football, NBA, college basketball, MLB, soccer, MMA, and more. PrizePicks has an award-winning, easy-to-use mobile app, both on the App Store and Google Play Store. PrizePicks is 4.8 star rated in the App Store with rave reviews. Entries can be made in 60 seconds or less. It's really that easy, guys. PrizePicks is safe and offers fast withdrawals. PrizePicks.com, promo code SGP. Check it out for yourself, guys. It's really fun to use. I use it on the daily for NBA and NFL. PrizePicks.com, promo code SGP for that 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by PropSwap, America's marketplace to buy and sell sports bets. If you're not using PropSwap, then you're missing out. PropSwap is America's number one app to buy and sell sports bets. You can find the best odds in the country because you're buying directly from other bettors. Use the promo code SGP on your first deposit and PropSwap will double it up to $500. Double the cash means double the odds. If you love sports betting, you need to be using PropSwap. Sellers across the country list their sports bets for sale, and thousands of buyers use PropSwap every day to find the best odds on futures, props, and parlays. The average PropSwapper makes $500 a month just buying and selling sports bets on PropSwap. Get started today by going to PropSwap.com or download the PropSwap app. PropSwap is where America buys and sells sports bets. All right, coming off of the break, 13 games tonight in the NBA. We're going to kick it off with our player props. Scott, I'll give you the floor first, sir. What's your first player prop for tonight?
So we talked about the Bulls earlier, and we briefly mentioned their matchup against the Cavaliers. I'm going to look at a spot here for Cleveland starting center, Jared Allen, and I'm going to go with a little bit of an unorthodox prop. I'm taking over 1.5 blocks at plus 125. Plus money for Jared Allen blocks. I kind of have to take it by default. You go by the minutes that he's played lately. He's played at least 31 minutes in each of the last 8 games. So he's heavily involved in this team with or without Mobley in the lineup. He should play 30 plus minutes in this game, maybe even more if a -2.5 spread indicates this game will be close throughout the entire game. But he has recorded at least 2 blocks in each of the last 4 games. We know he's one of the best rim protecting bigs in the league, and Chicago is really not afraid of attacking the rim for better or worse, because Chicago is allowing 5.6 blocks per game, which is the 6th most in the league. So I do think with all the slashers, yes, DeRozan's out, but still, we know LaVine and company like to attack the basket. I think that Allen should have a lot of opportunities to come over and help defense and to punt a couple of shots into the 5th row. 1.5 blocks for one of the best rim protectors at plus 125, I have to take it.
Yeah, Jared Allen, I'm not going to argue against any props on Jared Allen because I have one also on him for tonight. So I think this might be a great DFS play for Jared Allen. I think on every single night, but I think in particular tonight, because you said it's a plus matchup tonight because there is not much of a front court for the Chicago Bulls. And again, the numbers and the stats, and if you look at his game log, he's absolutely filling up the stat sheet for the Cleveland Cavaliers, which kind of leads into mine. And I'm going to be traditional, just take his rebounds and points to go over 27 and a half tonight. And for the reasons that we mentioned, that Allen plus matchup tonight against the Bulls, who pretty much do not have a front court. Yeah, Vucevic, but I don't think he's going to be able to contain either Evan Mobley or Jared Allen tonight. Allen has crushed this number in 8 out of the last 9 games for the Cavs. The Bulls defense against the center position is allowing 25.7 points and 14.7 rebounds per game this season. If you just kind of look at what Jared Allen has done over the last 9 games, he's just absolutely crushing the number on this points and rebounds. Last game against the Milwaukee Bucks, 25-9. Previous game, he fell a little short with Utah, but Rudy Gobert was there. But against Washington, 28-13, 19-11 against the Heat, 28-14 against the Dallas Mavericks. So I think that he should have his way tonight for the Cleveland Cavaliers against the Chicago Bulls.
He is one of those players who you seem like you notice every year as being a serious contender in your mind for most improved player.
I was just going to mention that to you.
0% chance he's going to actually win the award.
Yeah.
But shouldn't he be in the running? He's been unbelievable.
Just as you were talking about the blocks prop for him, I pulled up the most improved player odds for him. He's sitting at 45-1 right now, and there's players that are in front of him that I don't think that should be there, but I guess because he is in that Cleveland market, maybe that's what's kind of...
Yeah, nobody's going to vote for him because that involves watching Cleveland play, but if you just go by the numbers and how he's performed like arguably a top 10 center in the league.
Yeah, I mean, 17 points and 11 rebounds. That's not something to slouch about. I know there was a lot of backlash for Cleveland giving him that contract. I think he's certainly living up to that for sure.
Yeah, you have yourself a front court for the next decade with him and Mobley.
That's going to be
a decade, maybe a bit strong because one of them might leave, but you get the point.
Yeah, I think that's going to be exciting, at least for the next, 3 to 4 or 5 years for between him and Mobley.
If they stay healthy, that's a playoff team. With Sexton and Garland and everyone assuming that you don't get serious injuries. I know Sexton's out now.
Yeah.
That's a team that could easily make the playoffs.
I think so too. I think that only thing that's kind of, not having Colin Sexton, but I think that if they're able to figure something out with that backcourt, they could sneak into as a 7 or 8 seed into that play-in tournament for sure. And then maybe sneak in as a 7th or 8th seed. Let's get to your next player prop. Scott, what do you got?
So I'm going to go to one of our favorite players to talk about on the show. It's going to be Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And I'm looking at his point total, and it is 21.5. I like the over at minus 106. Just going through the volume that he's had for the last couple of games, he's attempted at least 20 shots in each of the last 3 games. The crazy part is he's also attempted at least 15 free throws in each of the last 2 games. In his last 3 games, he's averaging 30.3 points per game. And Toronto ranks tied for 17th in defensive efficiency. Now, is Oklahoma City a good team? No. But they know what their offense is, and it involves Gilgeous-Alexander having the ball on pretty much every single possession. 21.5 for a guy who's taking 20-plus shots a game and 15-plus free throws in the last 2 games, I don't know how I have to take the over. 21.5 is way too low.
If you had told me that he's playing in Toronto tonight where he was born, that's all you probably needed to tell me, that he's going to probably show out tonight being back home in Toronto to take on the Raptors. But yeah, we were talking about this on the NBA gambling pod this morning also, that I think that, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander tonight should have a big game for the Thunder and possibly also Luke Dort. Both of those guys are from Canada. But you being the sharp guy and smart mind looking at the stats that are backing this up, I can't argue that because I've been on Shai props all season long. And, you know, when he's playing, he gets the minutes. Like there hasn't been a single game this season, I think except for 2, where he's played less than 30 minutes. And like you said, over the last 3 games, he's getting not only the shot volume, but getting to the free throw line over his last 2 games and absolutely crushing at least in the last two games, getting over 30 or more points in the last two games. He had 39 against the Rockets and then 30 against the Pistons the other night. So going back home, I think it's just extra motivation tonight for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. For my next one, I'm going to go over to that the Milwaukee Bucks visiting the Miami Heat tonight. I'm taking Bobby Portis over 8.5 rebounds. Portis has been on an absolute tear rebounding the basketball for the Bucks this season. Obviously, because Brooke Lopez is out, he's kind of stepped up and taken on that role. But over the last couple of weeks, he's grabbed double-digit rebounds in I think 9 out of the last 11 games. He's grabbed double-digit rebounds in 3 straight games for the Bucks. And I know 2 out of the last 3 games were without Giannis, but in the game against the Cavs, in their last game amongst that tall lineup that we just talked about with Evan Mobley and Jared Allen, and with Giannis playing, he still grabbed 16 rebounds in that game. The Heat, we know, are without Bam. And over the last 7 days, the Heat are allowing opposing centers and power forwards to grab 16.2 and 13 rebounds, respectively, to those positions. Bobby Portis has consistently been playing 25-plus minutes in 7 straight games, so I think that he will continue to be a force on the rebounds for tonight for the Milwaukee Bucks, and asking him to get 9 or into double digits, it's not a tall order. So I'm taking Bobby Portis over 8.5 rebounds here.
Yeah, I think that he's got a good shot to do that. I thought about taking either him or Giannis over in rebounds, but yeah, I ended up getting scared off because even though the spread is 6.5, mm-hmm, I do think that game has a ton of blowout potential.
Yeah.
Just because of the fact that Miami, of course, is missing Butler and missing Adebayo. Mm-hmm. Miami killed Milwaukee in the first game of the season. And we know that Milwaukee is a team that kind of holds some grudges every now and then when it comes to facing off against teams that have embarrassed them in the past. Mm. This does seem like a spot where Milwaukee sees an injured team that has really, I don't want to say owned them because they swept Miami in the playoffs last year, but they've had some ups and downs with.
Yeah.
Milwaukee might rub it in a little bit and win this game by 30.
Yeah, I think so too, but
it wouldn't surprise me. So I do think Portis has a good shot to get there. Yeah. But I got scared off on the potential of Milwaukee coasting and benching people in the second half.
Blowouts where props go to die if you're on the over, but hopefully Portis can get this done by maybe the third quarter, midway through the third quarter against the Miami Heat tonight. Scott, let's get to your last one, man. What do you got?
So for this one, I went really, really off the board. I got an Orlando Magic player with an over, so I'm living dangerously tonight. I got Franz Wagner over 3.5 assists at plus 135. And simply put, this line makes absolutely no sense. If you're going through Wagner's numbers, he's recorded at least 4 assists in each of the last 7 games. Sacramento ranks 25th in defensive efficiency. We know that with Gentry as the coach, the defense has gotten arguably worse. And Sacramento over the past 2 weeks have been even worse defensively, because the Kings have allowed at least 115 points in 5 of their last 6 games. But 3.5 assists for a guy who's had at least 4 in pretty much every game for the last 2-3 weeks, plus 135. I have to take it. I don't care what your name is.
I can't argue that. This is probably something the bookmakers screwed up on, and I agree with your handicap there. That I'm looking at his box score or his game log right now. Yeah,
he randomly gets assists, even though Orlando scores like less than 100 points in every game. He always has 4 or 5 assists in every game.
And they're not asking him to get an astronomical number here. You're only asking him to get 4, which he's done, like you said, over the last, 7 games here. So I do like it. I think that I want to get your thoughts on this game quickly, is that we just talked about the Bulls and the Cavs game where the Cavs will have the advantage inside. Do you think this a similar situation? I mean, not the quality of players for the Magic, but do you think that this is a plus matchup inside for the Orlando Magic with Wendell Carter, Mo Bamba, Franz Wagner against a lack of inside presence for the Sacramento Kings?
Well, just to sum up how bad the Kings are, they're arguably using Mo Harkless as their starting power forward. That's not exactly a good recipe for success in the year of 2021. So I do think Orlando should have success on the boards. I like Holmes as a center. I do think if you're looking for another rebound prop, I don't mind Holmes there, maybe for a double-double. But I do think Orlando will keep this game close. Do I like this team at all? No, Orlando's terrible. We all know that. But Sacramento's a team that I don't want to say that they underperform, because this is kind of par for the course for the Kings for the last, 15 years?
Yeah.
But they're not a good team either. And I do think when your defense is that bad, you can lose to anybody. But an Orlando Magic game has a total of 222, which tells you all I need to know about how bad Sacramento's defense is. My logic was, if Orlando's usually scoring somewhere in the high 90s and Wagner's still getting at least four assists, if you can bump that up to 107, maybe 110 if you're lucky, and you get an extra 10 baskets, maybe 8 baskets, that adds a couple of extra assist opportunities.
Yeah, I can't argue that. I mean, I think that I do think this is going to be a high scoring game tonight. I, like you said, I don't think the Sacramento defense is very good. They've been average over the last five games, but if you're kind of looking at their season long stats, I think that Sacramento is not a very good defensive team. They're number 26th in the entire season with a rating of 111.1, which is down there with Orlando, with New Orleans, Charlotte, and Portland. So not going to argue that, especially at plus money for Franz Wagner. For my last player prop, I am going over to that Denver and the New Orleans Pelicans game. I'm taking Aaron Gordon over 13.5 points. Well, the Nuggets are dealing with a lot of injuries, and guys are going to be gone for the rest of the season. We know this information already. I think there's going to have to be guys. They're going to have to step up outside or to help Jokic, and that's going to have to be Aaron Gordon. That's going to have to be Will Barton. And Gordon, I think he's starting to embrace that role for the Nuggets. Gordon has gone over 14 points in four of the last five games for the Nuggets, and he's consistently playing well over 30 minutes per night. And that shot volume is slowly creeping more and more every single night. I know the other night he only had four attempts, but I think that he's consistently starting to get into 10 to 11 to 12 attempts per game. And I think that getting over, you know, asking him to get 14 or more points tonight isn't a big stretch. So I'm going to go Aaron Gordon over 13.5 points against the Pelicans defense tonight, which, again, not one of the great defensive teams at number 28 season long. And every look over the last five games here, Pelicans are number 29 with a rating of 120.9. So I think Aaron Gordon should have some success against this Pelicans team tonight, taking on the Denver Nuggets.
I think he should. The issue I have with Aaron Gordon is the fact that it took everyone getting injured for him to realize he has to shoot the ball more than five times a game.
Yeah.
So yeah. I do think he should blindly take it at least 12 shot attempts per game on this current roster. So whether or not you have been waiting for him to start doing that on his own, or whether it's because of everyone's getting injured, he should take more shots. And I do think that you're starting to see that. So yeah, I like that play as well.
Yeah. I mean, he's only averaging 13.8 points per game so far this season, but you know, last game against Chicago, 16, I guess New York, he only had four, but then Orlando, he had 12, 11, you know, 10 against Milwaukee. So slowly, he's starting to take more shots. And again, the minutes are there. He's logged 35 plus minutes in four of the last five games. So hopefully he can get over that number tonight for his player prop and cash me a ticket. Scott, let's take one final break here, bud. We'll come back. We'll get into best bets and some final thoughts for the NBA schedule tonight. So we'll be right back after we hear from our sponsors.
Better Fantasy is a new free-to-play app that lets you sync your fantasy football league and bet on matchups. You can cash out for gift cards when your bet hits and even help raise money for charity along the way. It's a brand new company looking to grow their early adopter community. It's a slick app and it's really fun to use. One of the reasons we love it is that they also offer prop betting. So if you're in a state that hasn't legalized gambling yet, you can get in on some prop bets on Better Fantasy. Plus, they have some added a really, really cool bonus, guys. If you can get your entire league to join Better Fantasy, they'll give the league a $150 gift card to get a sick-ass trophy from TrophySmack.com. The app is totally free to play. Download the app today for iPhone and Android. Check them out today at betterfantasy.com/SGPN. That's BETTOR fantasy.com/SGPN. Since when did sports betting become so rigid? Sports betting is meant to be social. When I picture betting, I picture bootleggers with mustaches tossing bets around in a speakeasy. SoBet is taking the social lineage of betting and putting a modern twist on it by providing a modern platform. SoBet is changing the game with their new product. Head over to SoBet.io and create an account to see for yourself. Through their fully functioning and free web application, you can access a demo of their app, which will launch next fall. The app includes consensus lines from Vegas, a feed of what other people are betting on, and the ability to send friendly wagers to anyone you know via text, QR codes, and links, among other methods. No money is transacted on the app. It is purely competitive. Next time you're with your friends watching sports, turn the dial up a notch. Go to SoBet.io and see who can hit the most ridiculous bets. Users have the ability to place bets off Vegas odds or generate a bet by changing any metric they want as long as somebody is on the other side to accept. Let's get back to the roots of betting with SoBet. Go to SoBet.io/SGPN. That's SoBet.io/SGPN today to join the revolution. And guys, make sure to check out PrizePicks.com. It is really, really fun website, and it's really great for betting on your favorite players, their stat projections to go over or under. Make sure to go to PrizePicks.com, get signed up today, and make sure to get that 100% deposit bonus by only using the promo code SGP. You're not going to get that 100% deposit bonus without using that promo code SGP. I highly recommend it to all my friends and listeners who have contacted me about this. Go to PrizePicks.com and use that promo code SGP. And finally, the SGPN app is now live in the App Store and Google Play Store. The app gives you easy access to all of our picks and podcasts. Don't forget to toss up an app review and download the SGPN app today.
All right, coming off of the break, let's get into our best bets for tonight. Scott, I'll let you go first here. What's your best bet for the NBA player props tonight?
So it was between Gilbert Alexander points over and Wagner assists. Best bet's going to be Wagner. And it's just because of the fact that it's plus 135.
Yeah.
Best bets doesn't always mean the one that you think is going to cash the most frequently, but it's the one that you have to bet based on the odds that you're getting. At least that's my interpretation of best bets. And for this one, you have a guy who's gone over this number in seven straight games, and it's plus 135. I don't really know what more I have to add there. Sacramento's defense being awful is the cherry on top of the sundae for me. Now, Wagner, of course, is still a rookie, and that's always going to be dangerous, and he's not always going to have the ball in his hands.
Yeah.
But if you're going over for 2-3 weeks straight, and odds makers are just handing you plus 135, you have to take it, don't you?
Yeah, you do. I mean, especially like you said, I think that if you told me that he's hit it in, what, seven straight games, you said?
Yeah.
At plus money, and now it's starting to move. We said plus 135. I'm starting to see it move towards plus 130, plus 125 now. So, yeah, you got to take that, man, especially at plus money, especially when you've done the seven games in a row. For my best bet, I think Jared Allen's an obvious one here, but yeah, I'll stick with Jared Allen, man. He's been on a tear as of late and actually throughout the whole season for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, should have his way tonight. I don't think there's anybody there to contain Jared Allen tonight. He should have a big night scoring the basketball. Should have a big night rebounding the basketball. So I'll take the obvious one on Jared Allen over 27.5 points and rebounds against the Chicago Bulls tonight. Scott, any other thoughts for the NBA tonight? Maybe a play that you're maybe looking at, a bonus, maybe a side or total play you want to give out?
Well, I already mentioned the Warriors 13.5 because it's kind of like taking candy from a baby. I don't know how you really don't fade Portland against the best team in the league, because Portland already had one of the worst road records in the league. Yeah. And now they're also without McCollum. So have fun losing by 50. But for every other game on the card, I find the Pelicans line fascinating against Denver, because 2.5 does seem a little bit short at first glance.
Yeah.
So I am curious if that's a trap line. Mm-hmm. And if New Orleans is, I don't want to say live because they're only plus 2.5, but it seems like they're just expecting Denver to no-show and they're daring you to take the Nuggets. So I am kind of curious about that one. The Knicks plus 5, I think, is interesting because I know they played last night. They kind of coasted to an easy win.
Yeah.
Portland just announced they're basically trading everybody.
Yeah.
Why would you want to lay points with Indiana?
Yeah, and that's what we were talking about in the NBA gaming pod this morning, is that, yeah, we mentioned that Knicks were on the back-to-back, and like, what's the motivation for the Pacers? Or is this a, hey, we don't give a shit anymore, that, hey, report came out that we are going to get traded, and is this a rallying cry, or like, you know, whatever, we're done with this team.
You're supposed to be a professional, but just in general, if you were in a situation where you were on a team or you're with a company and you knew that they were trying to get rid of you, would you really try as hard as you were before you found out they were trying to trade you? Of course not.
Yeah. And that was, that's the thing that we talked about. So glad you brought that line up, because I think that was one game that I said I was going to stay away from for sure. But definitely will be interested to see how the kind of Pacers what the mentality is for them kind of going, not only tonight, but going forward and when these trades kind of happen for the Pacers.
I do think one play, though, that I have to mention quickly before we wrap up.
Yeah.
I don't know how I avoid taking the over in the Sixers-Hornets game because it was 214 and a half last time they played. Charlotte was missing everybody anyway. Does it even matter who plays for Charlotte? They just walk into games in the 240s.
Yeah, and the thing that I brought up was that the Charlotte Hornets over the last five games are the number one offensive efficiency efficient team, but they're also number 30 dead last in defensive efficiency at 127.7. The crazy part is them being number one offensive, their net rating is still minus four for this team. So the only concerning part is Joel Embiid dropped 43 of the 127 they scored, but the thing for me is that if Tyrese Maxey is going to be able to go tonight, that just adds more firing power for the Philadelphia 76ers. So
I'm just saying, when you go through the actual schedule for Charlotte, you can just look at the fact that each of the last six games for Charlotte have had at least 248 points. Total's 215.
Yeah. I can't argue.
I don't know.
You can't take an under, that's for sure. Let's just say that.
I'm taking the over. Now, usually for a rematch, the immediate rematch, you see a lower scoring game.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, sure. You could take 20 points off the top. I don't give a damn. It's still going over.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. the numbers are looking like it's still too low for that game tonight between those two teams. It's funny because, again, they're missing probably two of their best guards and or best players in Rozier and LaMelo Ball. So,
well, they burned me. I took the team total under for Charlotte against Atlanta on that premise. I was hoping that the offense would regress. I was going to dare Ish Smith and Kelly Oubre to give them 30 something solid minutes, and they scored 130 points. They kicked my ass, but I'm aware of how good Charlotte is pace wise and how much they score.
Yeah,
but you always have to assume they're going to regress as soon as their best players are out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they haven't given a damn. They just keep scoring 120-plus points. So I'll keep riding the overs.
Yeah, and they still have guys that can score outside those two guys, right, with Miles Bridges, Gordon Hayward, Kelly Oubre.
Can we get Booknight more minutes?
Yeah, I think – he played 11 last game.
He had the putback dunk, which was very nice, but you drafted him top 10. Can we see him play a bit more since most of your guards are out?
Yeah, hopefully tonight he gets more minutes. Definitely want to watch him play more for sure. Scott, that's going to bring us to the end of the NBA player props for Wednesday night. Hopefully we can have a profitable night for sure. Let the people know where they can find you and what you're working on, man.
So you can find me at Reichel Radio, R-E-I-C-H-E-L Radio on Twitter. Besides that, of course, doing every Wednesday the propcast. So you'll hear me here every week. Besides that, doing some guest appearances on the NBA gambling podcast, the fantasy football podcast, etc., and doing a lot of podcast editing. So I'm editing either this one, the golf gambling podcast, the NBA gambling podcast, etc. So I'm keeping busy there. And on top of that, also got the fantasy football rankings every single week, as well as some articles. It's probably the last week of your regular season.
Yep.
I'm personally in a win or go home game. So I'm not exactly thrilled by it, but if you want some last minute help there, I put out an FAB waiver wire guide for week 14.
Yeah, definitely check it out. It's a win or go home for maybe a lot of people or players that maybe may need to pick up for the playoff run. So definitely check out all the fantasy football stuff happening on the website as far as the podcast and the content that Scott and the guys are putting out every single week for your fantasy football teams. Scott, thank you so much for joining me, man. It's a pleasure, as always, talking hoops with you. You can find me on Twitter at SportsNerd824. With that being said, guys, we will be back tonight for the PropCast for the Thursday night football. So look out for that dropping probably tomorrow. And then again, we will be back for the NBA PropCast and player props on Friday with Will Rivera and we NFL week 12 player props on Friday as well. With that being said, guys, thank you so much for joining us. Let's break the books off and let it ride.